Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Going to be doing a lot of bridge-related things. I've seen a whole bunch of charities and sort of port help going on over on the peninsula. Everybody knows me, knows I'm from that area. We'll be at Costas on the 9th in the morning, right up till 2 o'clock. I don't know exactly what time we're going to start. Find me on social media. I'm trying to figure out guests in the morning that can come on and be a part of this before 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, we're watching the Orioles. They're taking on the Red Sox 2 o'clock. So we were doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I'll have some 10 times the cash. That's the 9th. On the 12th, we'll begin a live series. You ain't live no more, Nasty. I'll be live 2 to 5 next Friday, the 12th, the 26th. Every Friday this season will be a Fadley's Live from 2 to 5. Luke's going to come down. We're going to do an hour of baseball. Then we're going to do a couple hours of Baltimore Positive Live. I hope I don't drink too much because I'll have to pee, and the bathroom's a long way. Live radio when you get to be my age after doing it for 25 years. We have an election coming up. And I know this because I walked around the club level on opening day and saw Miss Controller. I saw Miss First Lady. I have to – Mueller makes me address everybody, like, with the barrister name and the old British line tone of royalty to being elected, the electeds, the polls. And then there's folks that want to be elected. This guy wants to be elected. I lived in the 11th for a long time. This was the view from my home on the 23rd floor. I hope – The fellow that bought my place is enjoying some really quality Orioles baseball that I didn't have the 19 years that I lived there for the most part. Zach Blanchard is running for council in the city. Eric Costello is incumbent. Eric's been on the show a million times. Invited him down to the Fadley's. I'll invite him back. Eric, if you're listening, how you been? Meet you across street. I got to drive down there now, but I still love my neighborhood. We never wanted to leave. People ask me, you left the city because you don't like it. No, I left the city because we didn't have windows. We didn't have an outdoor porch, and my wife is chasing tomatoes this time of year and cucumbers and things that I'll be eating in a garden that we didn't have downtown. But I love my time in the city, Zach, and I know you're trying to lift the city. If you do a little research on me, I put Baltimore Positive together 7-8 years ago. Once I saw Trump get elected and the city on fire from the 23rd floor, I thought maybe I should lift the shovel. So part of the shovel is having folks like you on and not just talking to people like David Rubenstein or Rubenstein about baseball, but about city issue. So I'm up on your website, brother, and I'll direct everybody to Blanchard for Baltimore. I have some friends that vote in our district because I left some friends behind. How are you? Welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me on this. As we talked about before the show, you know, me and my team were really eager to get on. So really thank you for letting me come on. It's been awesome. We've been and I'm a half a block from Cross Street Market. So feel free to, you know, let me know when you're around as well.
Go into Sobo, but give them some love there. Get the mussels. Yeah, yeah. They're delicious. I mean, I can send you anywhere in the neighborhood to eat. I did a lot of gastronomic there. Give my love to Dave over at Mother's too, you know?
Yep. But yeah, so it's been great. I got out of, I was an active duty Marine, got out this past summer. I'd been in the neighborhood for a little over 4 years now. But
where are you from originally?
South Louisiana.
So okay, all right.
Came to Maryland originally to go to the Naval Academy as a midshipman. My wife is originally from Montgomery County. When I was off, you know, doing Marine stuff everywhere, she was in Baltimore. So we were long distance for about 4 years. I was like to the Marine Corps, hey, can you, you know, put me where my wife is? I'll be the head basketball counter at Fort Meade if I need to. And they, you know, let me teach American government at the Naval Academy for my last 3 years, which was awesome. So awesome tour there.
You're a poli sci guy, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, poli sci in undergrad.
Well, somebody's got to run the place. And, you know, I'm always heartened when I see young guys like you, especially people. Yeah, I'm a real Baltimore guy, right? Like Dundalk, White Marsh, downtown for 20 years. I'm in Towson now. I've never lived anywhere. I've threatened lots to be other places, but never lived anywhere else other than Baltimore City and Baltimore County. Yeah. And I've seen all the changes here. I think the real question for somebody my age is somebody young like you saying, what are you doing here and why are you here? Like, why do you care about Baltimore? And I asked Costello the same thing. He's from upstate New York. Like, I see these people because I'm a real Baltimore guy and I considered running for mayor and I had people tell me I was too white, too Hispanic. too this, too that, too loud, not kissing enough ass, not getting enough money. When I found out about how much ass you had to kiss to get big money to run, I'm like, I already do that to get sponsors. I've been doing that for 30 years, except I deliver results, not nothingness. The amount of respect I have for anyone that runs for office, knowing I went through that process without doing it because I didn't think I could win. Where you are and why? What made you fall in love with Baltimore, man?
Okay. So I'll couple questions there. I'll try to answer them in order. So first off, why we ended up here. So for the last, I mean, pretty much my whole time in the Marine Corps, I have been super passionate, like reading books, reading blogs, listening to podcasts about this whole idea of like sense of community, social connectedness, like knowing the people in your neighborhood, being able to rely on your neighbors, they rely on you. Maybe one day your kids want to raise their kids in the neighborhood they were raised in. Like, I'm all about it. I don't have my bicycle helmet with me right now, but my wife and a friend made me a bumper sticker that I have on the side of my helmet a couple years ago, says "Fed till I'm dead." So totally, you know, this sort of town home, you know, row home, dense row home neighborhood where you're walkable to a lot of stuff, you're close to a lot of neighbors. That whole type of thing was like, just the historic aspect of so many of our neighborhoods was awesome.
Well, they don't have that in South Louisiana. I mean, they don't have that in a lot. No, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've traveled the world, bro. And, you know, and like what we have in Baltimore is very European. It looks much more like Amsterdam or Ireland or,
100%.
England.
And I'll say kind of briefly to that, that, you know, so I've got a toddler and a couple of, you know, my friends have left right now. You know, a couple of my neighbors have left actually for Riverside and Locust Point, which is, it's good that those are starting to become like family areas, but we want that across the city. But, you know, obviously folks leave for the counties, leave for wherever. And something you hear is like, oh, we need grass, we need this or that. I'm kind of a believer in like kids don't need grass as much as they need other kids. And so that's a, you know, that's just how we kind of ended up here. We're not leaving here. So that's that. So to the question of like, you know, how that translates into getting involved in politics. So I had a couple of folks, you know, reach out to me in early 23, weirdly enough, like on the same day, unrelated, but about like, hey, you should think about running. It's not something that I didn't grow up in an area where that was a thing. I didn't grow up in a family that sort of had that sort of background or connection to elected officials or whatever. And in the military, we don't really talk about politics ever. And so it wasn't something I was really focused on. You know, I had a couple people talk about it. And also, you know, just to be blunt, I've had a lot of interactions with, you know, my now opponent, Eric, and we're just really varying between feeling frustrated with his decisions to feeling like some of his actions were just, you know, really inappropriate for an elected official. And so I was looking for someone to back. No one was running. Which was the case in 2020.
So you're a frustrated resident.
Yeah, that's a good way
to put
it.
Fair enough. Hey, I was too. Just a guy who had been on the radio for 25 years at the time, who was frustrated with Freddie Gray and the city and the notion that I lived at Harbor Court before the plague.
Right.
And Trump's elected, and I would say to people, "You don't come down and do this." We don't go into the city. What do you mean? What television station are you watching? And it really does lead to the atrophy of all of it. Now, you know, I've been very outspoken about the baseball owner and how awful that was. I mean, taking 3 million people out of downtown and treating everyone like garbage for 30 years. I've told Mr. Rubenstein, I hope that changes, because the ballpark changes the neighborhood. It changes Cross Street. Mm-hmm. It changes who wants to live there. It changes 80 nights a year, the heartbeat of traffic and the heartbeat of industry and selling pretzels on the street. I mean, just people, as opposed to tumbleweed. Right. And not a lot of districts have a stadium with a major league team that hosts 80 games, 80 Billy Joel concerts a year, if you do it right. You know what I mean?
Literally. I was at Billy Joel's first concert. I think it was the first concert at Camden Yards. My father-in-law and I went. I was actually still stationed down in North Carolina, but came up for that.
Well, you're so new to Baltimore, so I don't even know where to begin with you. I mean, you know, that would be a reason to vote for you or not vote for you. I don't know. But the whole notion is you see our community much differently than Eric Costello would, who got here when he got here, or some little old lady down on whatever Scott Street who's lived there since 1958 and has seen everything change, right? Seen the bridge go up and fall. And the notion that the city's getting better in my mind. And I saw Brandon on opening day, and I told him, you know, I watched what he and Wes went through last week with the bridge going down. I mean, being in it's tough work. I mean, and it's work I respect. I'm not the guy making fun of politicians. I do. The process bothers me greatly in a general sense. But the notion that someone has to be there trying to lift the community and your frustration. So give me your frustration with Eric.
Yeah.
Give me things that you think are wrong and right, because you do come in with a different kind of eye for it, because you don't see it the way I see it, having invested $450,000 in a condo in 2003 when you were probably in middle school. I don't even know what you were then, but
middle school. So a couple things when you talk about the process specifically, one thing that I think is really important about my campaign is I'm publicly financed, which is not an option that you would have had when you were considering running for mayor in 2020. 2024 is the first cycle we've actually had it. And it's awesome because it means that I will never accept a contribution above $150 from anyone. And in exchange, the city matches small contributions from city residents. And our campaign was actually the first campaign in the history of the city to max out public financing. So by getting, you know, 400 something city residents to contribute, we're able to max out, get the full contributions plus city match at $150,000, which for a district.
I love this show because you're educating me about that process because it is new.
And it's, and I think it's to your point about, like, you know, your phrase of, you know, kissing ass to get the big donors. Like, when I first announced, I took 2 days off of work and I had that weekend and I just called like everyone that I know from my neighborhood, from church, from like a couple of random online forums that I am on in the city. And like, hey, I'm running for city council. You know me, like I need $50 just to. And that $50 actually moves the needle, and how incredibly different that is than if I didn't have this option and I would have had to go to the type of folks who can cut a $5,000 check and try to tell them what I think they want to hear, you know, like how much more like fun and like just like spiritually fulfilling it is to be able to talk to people, you know, and believe in you and get small donors and have that small donation, have that move the needle. That's been awesome. And I think that a lot of candidates didn't know or really believe in this process. This first go around, there's only a couple of us who are using it, but in 2028, when everyone knows about it and people are going to be using it, dude, this is going to have like a really meaningful impact on Baltimore city politics. And I'm pumped about it.
I'll say this just as an American, my wife and I a year and a half ago went to Canada. We went up to Quebec and we went to Ottawa and we went to Montreal and to see Pearl Jam. And it was Labor Day weekend. So it was like September 1st, 2nd in that area. I don't know much about Canadian elections, except that my wife and I are weird. We don't drive on the highway so much. I like to go through towns. I like to see countries. I don't mind red lights. I don't mind Tim Hortons. It gives me a place to pee because I'm not of that age. I have to stop. And so we drove through. But every town we drove through, smaller towns even, towns that I could these French towns that I had always seen hockey players come from in the QHCL or whatever the hell it was called. I would pull in. And there were pictures of good-looking people like you and good-looking people like me on signs on the streets. And that's how they elect there. They take the elected officials and they put your picture up. And you don't buy anything. You don't buy media and, you know, spend money. And, like, it's a different kind of system. And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. That's how they do it here. And I thought, I thought about being elected. And like, I thought about how it would have to go for me to get elected, or for Sheila Dixon or anybody running for mayor, you know, and I'll have all of them on in the coming weeks. It's just such a, I don't know. It's a filthy
different
system
process
here. Yeah. It's a filthy system here. You know, I don't need to tell you Trump's on the ballot. So, you know, I mean, that's all.
No, 100%. I will briefly say that, you know, a lot of that gets into an area that I'm kind of familiar because I taught on at the Academy for 3 years, but constitutional government and how the Supreme Court has interpreted freedom of speech over the last 50 years. And so I think that basically when it comes to like what's possible in our system, I think that public financing as well as independent redistricting, right, where we don't have the mayor drawing maps, or we don't have the council president, whoever, right? We don't have elected officials drawing district maps.
Well, yeah, just look at the Maryland map. Every time I have Sarbanes on, it's like, it's laughable how that the Democrats have gerrymandered the state here. Like, it's crazy.
It's not. I mean, it's just a matter of like, it's a bad incentive, right? And I really disagree with the map that Mayor Scott drew. And it's not because I think he's inherently like untrustworthy at all. It's just that like, that's a bad incentive to give an elected official the power to draw maps. And so that's another, those would be the two things I think like near term Baltimore City things that we need to change that I'm pretty bullish about.
Zach Blanchard is our guest. He's a first time guest here. He is a guy running for city council in my former district, the 11th. Tell me about the district, just so they know where it is. Because you could say Fed Hill, but it encompasses more of that and toward the west. And every time 100%. I've had Eric on, you talk about like gerrymandered weird. There are no straight lines in most of these district maps.
Yeah. So the current map, which changed a little from, you know, from the previous map, which was a little less weird. But the current map is almost all of the peninsula, except for south of Fort and west of Light. So think South Baltimore, like South Baltimore Neighborhood Association by the bridge, west of Riverside Park, that area. So it's almost all of the peninsula. It's all of what we think of as downtown. It's
when you say the peninsula, they've now re-gerrymandered the name of Port Covington and they're calling it the Baltimore, my ass, Paul. They'll never be called Baltimore Peninsula by anybody except people from out of town. But that's not yours because it's on the other side of 95.
No, it is.
That
actually,
is yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it gets
so toward Cherry Hill, you stop, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, more or less. Swan Park is now in another district, but the Port Covington development is outside it. But so you have most of the peninsula, you have all of what we think of as downtown between MLK and 83 president, right? You have a lot of Upton, you have a lot of Mount Vernon, you have about half Bolton Hill, Madison Park. That's kind of like the big sweeping area. It used to pretty much go up to North Avenue. Now it stops a little bit short of that in most places.
What's interesting is nobody ever lived downtown because those buildings were all businesses and they were all banks and they were all offices in general up into the sky. I was one of the few people that lived downtown because so few of the buildings. Scarlet Place, now there's 414 and a couple of places. Park Avenue had one, but there weren't a lot of residences. Now all of these high rises.
It's exploding.
Over the next 10 years, that's all it can be because it's never going to be a bank anymore.
Right. And you're spot on. And if downtown, check this fact out, this is crazy. Downtown in the peninsula between 20, if that was a state, between 2010 and 2020 would have grown faster than population wise than any state in the country. It grew at 22%. Utah, which was the fastest, grew at 18%. DC, we think about.
So as
DC
much as Baltimore's part, losing population, the downtown area, because of the density and the buildings becoming residences, have picked up people.
Well, I mean, really like downtown as well as the peninsula, as well as the southeastern waterfront. So think basically all of Zeke Coe and the councilman of the first and all of the 11th, the district that I'm running in, you know, Eric's
the row home population. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, row home, waterfront, you know,
a lot of people would say the white butterfly is what they would say.
White L. Yeah.
White L.
Well,
yeah,
not
right.
The
black butterfly,
growth,
but the white L. Sorry.
The waterfront part of the L. Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yep. Well, so for you to come in here and find out that there were black butterflies and white L's and like in the city and blockbusting and all of the history of all of that, there are certain people that don't even in our population, not certain, a lot of people that vote that have no concept of the history of all of this. And I'm sure now that, you know, the Fox people have bought the Baltimore Sun, I'm sure they're going to absolutely delve into the history of how all this worked. But this has been a mess. And it's been a mess by government. And the Republicans would say it's all Democrat. I hear all of that nonsense, you know, through the years. But I did say to one of David Rubenstein's guys, I said, you should look up the amount of people who voted for Donald Trump in Baltimore City in the last election. It was like 1.7%, probably less than any place anywhere else. Baltimore City in particular voted a certain way against fascism, against the red hats, against all of that. So you wind up in a situation where it's Democrats and Democrats, and it's you and Eric who may be on the same side of a lot of political issues, but not on the same side of local issues. And that's where people have to break down and say, we have Democrats fighting with Democrats in a Democratic city. Can't we all figure out what the policy should be? So tell me what you're upset about in your own district. What you don't like.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for example, Upton, which is still almost, you know, most of Upton still in the district, has 307 abandoned properties. So think boarded up door, like these are vacant building notice cited properties. Think boarded up doors and windows on the majority of the blocks. It costs the city $200 million a year to have this vacancy crisis. We're highly taxed, but we're also super broke and we literally can't afford this as a city. But also, like, there is nothing that tells a young person in a neighborhood that there's no future where you live, like having a bunch of plywood on doors and windows. And so when we look at the neighborhoods in the Butterfly that are hemorrhaging population to the county, right? Like, that's the vacancies are an effect of that, but they're also a cause of that. And so we need to get super serious about these 14,000 abandoned properties. They almost half of them pay less than $250 a year in property taxes, which is...
They're a blight on top of a blight.
They're a blight that makes us no money and cost us a bunch of money. So we need to tax them at a much higher rate than they're currently taxed at to incentivize the owners to either rehab and reoccupy them or to sell them to someone who can. And that's actually something that the state has to enable it, but it's about to pass out of the Senate right now. It's already made it through the House. Like, this is a huge deal. It might happen in the next week. Like, I tell people when they say, like, what's the most important thing this is the most important thing that can happen in Baltimore. And if anyone takes anything, you know, away from this podcast policy wise, it's like getting the vacancy tax in place is a huge deal. It's going to be transformative for the city. I'm also a big supporter of Councilman Ramos's land bank. I'm also a big supporter of the mayor's TIFs for vacant properties specifically. Like, we don't have to have 14,000 abandoned properties. In 2011, Cleveland had 14,000 abandoned properties. Now it's got like 1,400. That's a huge difference. We can do that. So,
Zach Blanchard is here. If you live in the 11th, which is basically down in the city in South Baltimore, he's running. You know, just to wrap up, and, you know, at some point I'll have you back on as a scholar, professor, even if you're not elected. But just on the election side and the election cycle, a lot of people don't even know when the election is. You want to tell them that? We go down to Annapolis and, you know, we try to go through all the rules and the mail-in and the ballot. Hell, that's a mess. I've got my mail-in out here. I cannot vote for you. I don't live in the city. But lots of folks can. Give them a little election tip here, because I think it's more important that people get involved and they vote for somebody.
100%. The Democratic primary is the race that will decide every single election in Baltimore and has decided every single election in Baltimore for the last 60 years. So if you are not registered as a Democrat, and I'm not pushing anyone that way, I'm just saying that, like, if you want your vote to count in Baltimore City, you have to register as a Democrat and you have to vote in the Democratic primary, not the general election, the Democratic primary. That's on May 14th. May 14th. Early voting runs May 2nd through the 9th. There's a ton of polling locations all over the 11th district, and, you know, I'm sure all over the city. And then also, you can also register to vote by mail. It's an easy process. If you're already registered to vote, expect those to hit probably next Monday or so. And so mail-in ballots are coming in, Ness. So, and that's a big deal. And the process of registering to vote, like, if you're a Maryland resident and you just moved to the city recently, transferring your address to Baltimore for voting purposes is like super quick. It's a 2 or 3 minute process. I need to make an Instagram video about it, but please get involved, get informed, and vote in the Democratic primary. So,
all right. Well, if I can help you in the future, I'm all for lifting the city. Good luck to you. I say this from the beginning. It's nice to see people come in and get a shovel, and especially people from the outside, because there aren't enough people on the inside that have had shovels enough. And I learned my own shovel 10 years ago. My wife got sick and had to fight for her life over at Hopkins. And I saw people every day would get up with shovels and trying to make the place better. So I'm all for it. Thanks for your time. Appreciate your service as well for our country. And good luck to you on May 14th down there on the 11th. Zach Blanchard can be found very easy. Blanchard for Baltimore. Blanchard like the old wrestler, Tully Blanchard. B-L-A, you like that? B-L-A-N-C-H-A-R-D. Like parts unknown. That's professional wrestling lingo. We're going to get back to some baseball around here. Luke's been at the ballpark. They're going to draft football players later this month. We're going to elect elected officials on May 14th. So between now and then, Zach is just the first of many who will be coming on and many who will yell at me about equal time and this and that. Just email me, ness@baltimorepositive.com. If you want to come on the program and you're running for office the next 6 weeks, I'm like the late, great Peter Angelos. I have plenty of time for everyone. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I'll shave next time. I'm not running for office. You are. Back for more on Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.